Welcome to Who Are You, a CSI podcast. I am Raven, and I have seen CSI through and through around 3 to 4 times.
And I'm Nick, and these are my first time seeing these episodes.
And today we are reviewing Season 4, Episode 11, 11 Angry Jurors. Original air date, January 8th, 2004. Director Matt Earl Beasley. Writers are Anthony E. Zeiker, Josh Berman, and Andrew Lipsitz. And we begin today's episode with lightning, like a little bit of a storm.
Yeah.
Over Vegas. So, Nick, what is our Vegas score for today's episode?
You'd think I had done the math. It's actually quite good.
I thought it was good. On my second watch through, I think probably around like one third of the way in, I was like, there's a lot of Vegas happening in this episode.
Yeah. We're gonna go ahead and call this a 40. Mm-hmm. So we're not breaking the bank, but that's pretty high, except for that like one episode where there was like 30 seconds in a row.
Yeah. That kind of skewed the results a
little bit. For traditional Vegas scoring needs, I would say this might be the highest one of the season.
Okay. All right.
Bunch of scenes, three up front and then eight total. And then I gave like a bonus point because like I show the courthouse a number of times.
Yes, they do.
And that is the Vegas courthouse. One of the scenes you can see the strip in the background.
Oh, okay.
You can't always see it. Sometimes they show it from the other side.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is Vegas. So I gave like a little extra point there. Just partial credit, basically.
Okay. All right. So we have the storm over Vegas and we're shifting between this lightning storm over Vegas and almost like a soap opera reenactment of a man choking a woman. Like it seems very theatrical.
It reenactment is the right word.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah. And so from there, we go to what we learn to be jurors deliberating. And I have two Spot the Guest Stars in this.
I have one.
Scene. Okay. So why don't you do yours? And then the one. Yeah. Because I feel like we share one for sure.
Yeah, Hank from Breaking Bad, played by Dean is it Norris?
Norris, yes.
Juror slash Bob in this episode.
I know him primarily from The Big Bang Theory, but I do think that I've seen him.
Wait, he's in The Big Bang Theory?
He's in like he's in the later, like one of the last seasons.
Last season? Maybe the last season, because I think I've not seen the last season of The Big Bang Theory. But yeah, obviously, so he plays Hank, who is the main character's brother. He's in a lot of episodes. Major character in Breaking Bad. Looks spitting image of what he looks like in Breaking Bad. I think we're really not that far from the start of the Breaking Bad show when this was filmed. I think that was sort of mid-2000s. So yeah, it was, he was in real, like, kind of hard knock character. So who else in this jury?
So who else in this jury that I know is... who we will learn later on. We don't learn in this scene, but we learn later on in the episode is Tara Newsom.
Is that the chili girl?
Yes, that is the chili. That is the chili girl. And okay. I know her as Mandela from 10 Things I Hate About You. She's like the main character's best friend.
No, I've never seen that movie.
I've seen it many a times.
Like gave me, I think I looked at her thing. She's in that. She's also apparently in Drive Me Crazy.
See, that I have not seen.
But which is a very similar teen movie from a similar time. But
the exact same year. They were both released in 1999.
I really only know Drive Me Crazy. Actually, no, this
is
song.
Because all I can think of
well,
is because
Melissa Joan Hart.
Drive Me Crazy.
Oh, yeah. The Britney Spears is the music video. The Britney Spears song Crazy is the theme song to that show, to that movie.
Oh, I did not know
In the Total Request live music video that I probably watched 1,000 times or maybe 100 times for that music video is like has Melissa Joan Hart and some of the other actors in it. It's like filmed on set there.
Oh, okay.
And so I know of that movie really well. Also, I don't think I've seen the movie. Driving me crazy. I didn't date a lot of people. You know, I didn't go to a lot of like romantic comedies unless they were really funny. So like Clueless, definitely saw that.
Okay. I saw
maybe
Clueless
not
as
in
well.
The theaters. That's like maybe a little bit.
I'm fairly certain I saw 10 Things I Hate About You in the theater.
Everyone I know.
I'm almost positive.
Everyone I went to school with saw 10 Things I Hate About You except for me.
Okay. It is a good movie. I mean, I feel like now would be a weird time to watch it. Like, I can't, I've tried to go back and watch shows that I watched as a teenager thinking like, oh, this will be like fun nostalgia. And when I go back to watch these like teen-based TV shows or movies now as an adult, I literally just think the teenagers are stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally like, oh, that's what you're worried about? That's what you're stressed about?
Yeah.
Really?
If these
are the decisions that you're making? This seems dumb.
It also makes me realize, like, even like when I was a teenager, I was worried about the wrong things.
Yes, I'm like, it seems like your brain is not fully developed. I just can't, like, watch it with the same appreciation I once did. But,
and, like, one of these movies I probably would have seen, but I didn't have, like,
I didn't have
close female friends, no female siblings, and all my male friends basically all went with either their girlfriend or a girl they were trying to date.
Right.
At the time.
Yeah.
And so I would typically not see those. Although me and my male friends got really tricked into seeing a movie once that was really more of like a date movie, which was Coyote Ugly.
Oh, yeah. I liked Coyote Ugly.
There's nothing wrong with the movie, but
that's,
I mean, I'll tell you, the ads that aired on the types of TV shows that I watched were not similar probably to the ads that aired on other shows. They did not make it look like a romantic comedy. They made it look like a bunch of scantily clad women dancing on bars, which to 14-year-old boys is really the right approach.
Yeah. That's really what they need to be focusing on to get you in the theater. So
if you saw a preview before an X-Men movie, it had very little romance. Right.
That's fair.
In that
That's
preview.
Fair.
You know?
That's fair. So we have the jurors deliberating, and we learn as they are deliberating that one of them is holding out. One of them is refusing. Yeah. And he's like, what about the cable guy?
Yeah.
And they're all like, the cable guy, like just like losing their mind.
It was Larry the cable guy.
Cable guy and
by the way, we don't really find anything else about this case, right? Like, we don't follow this up or anything else or get any flashbacks to evidence during this.
We do not.
But like I want to know, was this a day shift crime scene? Was this a night shift crime scene?
That's a good one to know. Yeah.
Also, why is the night shift? This guy died during jury duty. That's a 9-to-5 job.
That is definitely a 9-to-5 job.
Why is the night crew assigned to this?
I don't know.
Person who died during deliberations. Maybe it's supposed to be late thereafters. Although they said lunch. Died at lunchtime.
He died at lunchtime.
So like probably mid-afternoon. But I really want to know, like, maybe it's because, like, they cut this out. It was a daytime shift case. And so as to not have the same people,
maybe
like conflict of interest or something.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, I had the night crew. And I was like, did they like cut out a scene where they explained that to the audience? Or something?
Yeah.
I did want to bring up, though, we didn't really talk about it. The name of the episode, 11 Angry Jurors.
Yes.
A roundabout reference to 12 Angry Men.
Yes.
Famous, I believe it's a play, and then obviously it's a very famous movie where there's a single holdout juror. So yeah, it's very similar setup. There's a single holdout juror. It goes a lot better for the guy in 12 Angry Men than it does
for the guy in 11 Angry Jurors. No. We follow the jurors out into the hallway, and then the officer tells them that lunch, you know, hey, your lunch is getting cold. So they head back into the deliberation room to find Chris, the only holdout, dead.
Dun, 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 dun.
We then have Grissom and Jim Brass on scene, and this is where we learn that they have been deliberating for 2.5 weeks at this point. So this is a rough go.
Yeah, and they had like a 2-week trial, and there have been like, or
I think it was 4 weeks because I think they've been sequestered for 6.5 weeks. I think they.
Oh, that one was okay. For some reason, in my brain, it was like the deliberation was way longer than the trial itself.
I think the trial was 4 weeks.
Okay, that's not crazy.
And they've been deliberating for 2.5. But listeners, let me know. Nick already knows this. I had a very stressful day today, so I did my best to take notes during my second watch through, and I did. I mean, I took notes, but if my thoughts are a little jumbled and I get some things wrong, I apologize, listeners. It's been a really, really rough day.
I was on a very long trial that was like 7 or 8 weeks long. Ugh. And then we deliberated for about a day, and then we decided to come back the next day and just talk it through one last time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Before making a final decision.
Yeah.
But we were basically there. In one day, and And so that's why I was sort of like the premise here either way is that they've been at a, you know, it's been a tense atmosphere for several weeks.
For several weeks.
It was a lot of deliberation given the length of the trial. Weeks of deliberation is just a lot. And the shorter the trial, the less there'll be to review evidence-wise. And so it's like, it makes it even more. And so that's an important fact for thinking about the mental state of all the other jurors.
Yeah. Yeah. We go to credits. We return to Grissom taking photos. Jim Brass walks over. At this point, Grissom is thinking that the victim died of blunt force trauma, which, spoiler alert, not what killed our victim. We also learn in the scene that the victim wore a medical alert bracelet because he was allergic to penicillin. And then Grissom is curious if there's a suspect with blonde hair, pulls a synthetic blonde hair off of the victim. And Jim Brass almost embarrassed, like almost as if he's embarrassed, is like, oh yeah, there's a stripper from, and I think it's the same strip club that Doc Robbins admitted to going to. Shimmer.
Oh, the little glitter shaped dancer. The trucker mud flap.
I think they were referencing the same strip club. So I don't know if this is like a boys hangout between Doc Robbins and Jim Brass to go to Shimmer. But we know that Doc Robbins is a fan. So we then have the jurors kind of arguing, talking loudly in the hallway. Catherine approaches them and she starts her questioning with said stripper, Miss Davis. So they're in a room together. Miss Davis admits to teasing Chris, essentially promising him some unknown sexual favors.
Yeah, they don't.
If he agrees to stop holding out and vote guilty.
Yeah, we get kind of muted, I feel like, before you hear exactly what would maybe be offered, but
And Catherine lets her know, good thing that he didn't accept, because that's a felony. And
I mean, I think the implication is offering is a felony, but she wasn't.
Wouldn't you think so? But they were like, hey, he's dead, so.
Well, she wasn't going to throw her under the bus.
She was not. So then we have Nick at headquarters. A detective approaches about a case, a missing persons case from several years ago for Rita Westenson. And the reason that the detective is bringing this up now is because her sister is there. And she is claiming that her sister did not go missing. Her sister dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we then have Nick and Detective Vartan. I always forget what his name is. So I was like, let me scroll on IMDb and find it. With Faye, the sister, in interrogation. And this is another one of my spot. The guest.
Oh, Faye?
Faye. So this is Everett Carradine. And it took me a little bit. And I really did have to like, I was like, I definitely... Well, first I did a, does she look like somebody else? And that's why I think I know her. And then as I was going through her IMDb, she's actually been in quite a bit. But what I know her from is, and this came up not that many episodes ago, she was Lexi Carter in Eureka.
Oh, all right.
And so that's how I know her.
I just looked at it. She's in 20 episodes of The Handmaid's Tale, a very popular TV show.
Yes, which I have not watched that TV. I've read the book, guys, so...
She's in 30.
Don't at me for not seeing the show. I read the book.
33 episodes, the hit Marvel TV show Runaways, which is so hit that as a comic book fan, I've never seen it. A few episodes of Shameless. I bet you a bunch of people who watch this have watched Shameless before.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in 2 episodes of CSI Crime Scene Investigation. So apparently, it's not the last time we see this actress. That's always my favorite fun fact to stumble upon.
Yeah, is to find out that they're in a later episode. Yeah.
She's in 25 episodes of 24. I couldn't tell you. Oh, maybe I can tell you.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I'd have to look
at
it.
We're doing a real time spot the guest star here.
You just like read the name and it like...
Erica?
Yeah. She... No. I mean, she just looks exactly like what she does on the show here.
Okay.
But like... I don't think I put my finger on it, but yeah, you know, she's in a really late season of 24. I don't actually know that I watched it.
Oh, okay, when she was on it.
Yeah, it's season 7. I don't know that I made it that far. I was like, for a second, I was like, she doesn't play the mob, does she? I can't remember. I was like, no, yeah, that's funny. I didn't know that. Man, I don't even think I had like a who do I know this person moment.
Oh, I definitely did. And again, for a lot of it, I had to do the does she look like somebody? And like, that's why I think I know her. And then when I went through her IMDb, I was like, no. I do, in fact, know her. So they're with Faye. They're in interrogation. And she is admitting to having lied back when her sister Rita originally went missing. She flat out refuses an attorney. Again, not condoned here at Who Are You, a CSI podcast. She claims that Rita's husband at the time, Aaron, murdered her. And that not only did he murder her, he then set her on fire and dumped her ashes in the water. And the reason she knows this is because she is the other woman.
Yes. Well, she never admits that.
No.
Nick goes, guesses it.
Yeah.
And then she just stares blankly at him.
Yes. But we know what that means. So then we have Warwick. He is swabbing blood from the window at the crime scene. Sarah's also there. We then have Catherine with Mr. Jervis. He talks about opening the window, and that's why there's blood on the window, because he's like biting his nails. He's like biting the quick, like around his finger, like the entire time. And he also admits to losing his temper at some point in the last recent time during deliberations. And like,
they do a really bad job of explaining this to
him. Yeah, they don't do a great job of this.
I was like, wait, did this happen like this morning? Did this happen before he opened the window?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. And we then have Grissom approaching Nick, and he's asking about the fact that they're reopening Rita's case. And we learned that at the time of the original case, Grissom,
this actor,
Mr. Jervis,
is Andy Berman.
Yes.
Who is that? Not one of the producers of the show?
Josh Berman.
I bet you it's
one
brother.
Of the writers.
I bet you it's like his brother, because I clicked on his IMDb and he's like a producer for like a lot of TV shows.
Okay.
So I'm going to bet, maybe I'll look it up, but Andy Berman.
Yeah. Josh Berman is one of the writers for CSI.
Andrew Mark Berman was his brother of Lauren Berman Rawitz. Well, unless Josh Berman has transitioned, that's not a clickable link. Maybe they just have the same last name. Never mind. Could be a wild coincidence. Yeah. Should not assume two people with the same last name are related.
And it's not like the most crazy last name. I think it's a fairly common last name, I would think. So we learn that when Rita's case was initially closed, that Grissom was the one who made the decision to close the missing persons case. We then have Sarah with Doc Robbins, and this is where we learn that the juror did not die from blunt force. He did have an allergic reaction, though, so they need to take a look at that. And they're discussing the fact that he was wearing this medical bracelet. He was allergic to penicillin. And at this time, they realize, or Doc Robbins points out, that he does have an injection mark on him. So they're wondering if someone injected him with penicillin. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Someone that you know has a lot of allergies, or you assume has a lot of allergies, and then he has an injection mark, and your first thought is someone injected him with penicillin.
Well, at this point, I think they only know about the penicillin allergy. Because it's on the med alert bracelet.
No, because he had the skin rash.
But I don't think they had figured out what that's from yet.
They knew it was an allergic. Doc Robbins said it was an allergic reaction.
Yeah. But assuming that it came with the penicillin injection, that was my take. My take at the time was they were focused on penicillin. They hadn't pulled his medical records yet, later.
I just find it weird.
Yeah. But also, if you have somebody who's allergic to something, that is like the quintessential spot.
Yes.
For an EpiPen.
Yes. My friend who has a lot of food allergies was going to get that area tattooed with a
target
stick me here to help other people know where to inject them if they had an allergic reaction.
Yeah. So that's the part that was wait, you guys, you should have been on that. Like, it's Dr. Robbins.
Dr. Robbins.
You should have probably seen that one coming. Also, because people, when they have allergic reactions, there's probably not a lot. I'm not going to say all the time, but even with an epinephrine pen, sometimes people die.
Oh, yeah. And they're not, they probably they're not, have seen they're not 100%.
More than one body with an epinephrine injection in that spot. I mean, they get back around to it, but I think they're just stringing us along at this point.
Yeah. I get from a storyline perspective why they do it. It's just It's like, it seems like in some episodes, Doc Robbins is this amazing genius that knows every tiny thing medical that you could possibly know, which is impossible to know everything. And then other times he's like, woo, it's just like, I don't know what's going on here.
It's a matter of convenience, right?
I know it is. I know.
And I also will say that I struggled. So we do learn, we mentioned already that this person has multiple allergies. We will learn about these allergies.
We will.
I will say on the second watch through, I was like, I guess it makes sense that your med alert base bracelet only lists penicillin because you're really worried about showing up at a hospital and being given something, right?
Yeah.
If you're allergic, they're not just going to give you a bag of peanuts or some fish or some shellfish at a hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Just to harp on some common allergies here.
Yeah, generally, as far as the only people that I've ever known that have worn medical bracelets, their medical bracelets had their medication, like what they were allergic to medication-wise, so that if they got into a car accident or they passed out, you know, like something happened where they were incapacitated and they were taken to the hospital or in an ambulance, that they would know to not give them certain drugs.
Yeah.
So we then have Nick, Vartan, and Faye walking through a foresty swamp sort of area, and she brings them to the spot where Rita was burned. And, you know, Nick smartly takes some soil samples while they're there.
I was a little surprised he takes one little soil sample.
One little scoop.
Just believe that you remembered the exact spot from 4 years ago. Yeah. I would have taken 10.
There's so many episodes where we see them setting up these elaborate grids.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Just one little scoop. One little scoop is just enough. And we then see a lab tech, which is my next spot.
Okay.
Guest star.
This was my alluded to person who I definitely know and can't really tell you why.
This is Eddie Jemison.
Yeah.
He plays Mr. Dorsey, I believe, in this episode. A lab tech filling in for...
Also, as a note, I went on a wild ride here as I attempted to figure this person out after the episode, where I just assumed this was another soon-to-be recurring CSI character.
No,
he is
not.
You would be intrinsically familiar with.
One
and find out he was only in one episode.
One episode.
And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not seeing this guy again.
Nope. And I know him as Livingston Dell from the Ocean's 11 movies.
So yeah, that's the only thing I saw on his IMDb I remember, but I don't really remember him from
it. I have also seen The Punisher, but I've only seen The Punisher once.
But right?
This is the 2004 Punisher.
Yeah, I've seen it as well, and I was like, maybe that's where I know him from. Yeah,
so I'm sure. So I saw him in that. I don't specifically remember, but I definitely remember him.
I can tell you what the Punisher guy in that movie looks like.
Yeah, I mean, fair. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I saw him, I'd be like, the Punisher guy.
I mean, he stands out pretty well. So,
but yeah, this guy I did not really remember.
Yeah, so he's processing the soil sample, and this is one of many scenes with funky music again. We're back on the, when we're going through evidence.
Have we ever really stopped? I feel like every episode has one good random musical track.
Yeah, I feel like in earlier seasons it wasn't there, and now it's been established.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, now it is season for sure. Established thing. Nick enters. We learn that there are no hydrocarbons in the soil. That's what they were looking for. And Mr. Dorsey tells Nick that he heard a rumor that Sarah got a higher evaluation than Nick did because they're both up for this promotion, and they think it's due to the history between Sarah and Grissom.
Which I'm still, as someone who watches the show every week, I'm a little surprised what this history is because I still really haven't seen it.
Nick's like, what history? What is this? Detective Vartan enters. And we learn an important fact to this case, which is that Rita and Faye had a younger sister named Terry. And a few weeks ago, that younger sister, Terry, got engaged to Rita's ex-husband.
I want to know how they know two people got engaged. There's no, is it in the newspaper? Is that where you found out? Because they haven't gotten to talk to him yet.
I mean, some people do announce that in the newspaper. So maybe
they're calling around friends and family.
Yeah. Yeah. We then have we have quite a few. This is our first of quite a few walk and talks in this episode with Grissom and Catherine. And he had no penicillin in his system. So the victim did not die due to anaphylactic shock from penicillin, but he did have epinephrine, meaning he used an EpiPen.
Yeah, so they've now tested the wound or the clothing or something.
Yeah.
And they found epinephrine. So they, you know, now know there was an EpiPen.
Yeah. We then have Catherine with Greg Sanders. I feel like we sometimes learn, and I didn't look this up again. It's been a really stressful day. So I basically did my second watch through and was like, all right, I'm going to record. But we do sometimes learn as we're investigating these episodes and talking about them that they reorder them in a different way than they originally intended to.
Yeah.
And I feel like, is this one of those because of this conversation? So Catherine and Greg Sanders are talking. He's upset that he wants her, or she wants him, to run all of these allergy tests to try to find out what the victim was allergic to and possibly what caused the anaphylactic shock. And he's like reminding her, like, hey, I want to be out in the field and you're keeping me in the lab. And she's like, hey, I'm the one who put you on a case. And he's like, yeah, but then you took me off the case.
Which episode case? Was that?
What case? I mean, I know he helped her with the I was going to say go-go dancer, but that's not the right word. Showgirl with the creepy guy that was obsessed with Catherine.
What was the one with the sheriff? And like they're like, who's that guy? Because
that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was that one.
That was like a very early episode, wasn't it?
No, it was like 4 episodes ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't long ago.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm confusing. Yeah. So yeah, that was episode 408. So this is accurately episode 411. So it is just 3 episodes later.
But I don't remember her taking him off the case. That's where I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't happen.
That's what I'm like.
Yeah, they're like, I tagged in like the dream team or something, she says in this episode. And I was like, no, she doesn't.
No, that's what I'm. So I don't know if like this is one of those again. Maybe this is like slightly.
They may have
rewritten it. And that's what's causing it. I'm not sure.
I was trying to think, what's the, did he, no, he didn't. I was trying to think, what's the balloon one? He didn't help with that one.
He did not help with that one. No, that was Catherine. And then she sort of like tagged work in for a little bit, but
yeah, that's how I was like, he wasn't in that, so yeah, no.
But he acquiesces, and Greg Sanders tests the blood again with funky music in the background. We then have Work and Sarah. They are in the jury deliberation room, and they are Work more so gets a call from Catherine, and they need to look for peanuts because he has an allergy to nuts that begin with a P. So,
which by the way, I can name a lot of nuts that start with a P.
This is true. Yeah,
pistachios, pecans. Yep. I was like, it took me a while to realize they meant peanuts.
Yeah. So we have Sarah stirring chili. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, because it doesn't really matter in this scene, it matters later. But the only reason I'm bringing it up is for reasons unknown to me, because I like chili. I make chili. I eat chili. For some reason, watching her stir this chili grossed me out.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I
cold,
was just like,
day old chili.
I was just weak. I don't know. There was just something about it that just did not sit right with me. And I was like, why is this, of all things, bothering me? But as they're continuing to investigate, Warwick finds peanut shells at Mr. Durham's seat. And then they're also underneath Mr. Gibbons' seat, which doesn't make sense because he's allergic. Which brings us to Sarah with Mr. Durham. And he admits to flinging, pinging peanut shells at the victim.
I want to take a moment to criticize the court here.
Yes.
You probably had to have a conversation with somebody who's that, well, I guess he isn't that allergic, but if somebody was that allergic that you wouldn't allow them to have peanut products.
Yes. Yeah.
In the room. Like,
yeah. I've been on flights where they didn't allow peanut products because there was somebody on the flight that was, you know, very allergic.
And yeah, I mean, it turns out that this person maybe isn't that allergic to peanuts, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was surprising that they made that would even be able to happen. Yep. Like,
yeah. So because he was flinging peanut shells at him, the victim did have a external allergic reaction and used the EpiPen to relieve the symptoms.
Which then if you're only having like a skin reaction, you definitely wouldn't be using an EpiPen.
No, you would not be.
You'd be taking some Benadryl. Yep. But two, I have never, and I'm sure this happens, and if you're out there and you have a real allergy, I'd love to hear a story. But typically when you use an EpiPen, they send you to the hospital.
Yes. The EpiPen is just like a stopgap until they can get you.
But also like care. It's also can mess you up.
Yeah.
And so you don't just go back to jury duty.
Yeah.
It's a medical emergency.
Yeah. Cause Mr. Durham's
EMT to check this guy out and get him to a hospital and they're done deliberating.
Yeah.
Because, not breaking for lunch.
Right. Because Mr. Durham says like, it wasn't that big of a deal because they went back to deliberating for a few hours.
Yeah.
So he was like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like we went back to deliberating for a few hours. So like no big whoop.
That's the one thing in this whole episode. Like there are other little like minor things, but that was one thing I was like, I'm pretty sure that there would be a break in they would adjourn for the day basically. Yeah. And this guy would have to go to the hospital or have a doctor come to him depending on how sequestered he is.
Yeah. Yeah. We are back with Nick and the detective Enfei in interrogation. And she's trying to say that she's not jealous of Terry. She's not doing this to get back at Aaron. She's actually scared for Terry, her sister. She's scared that like what happened to Rita is going to happen to her. And then as they continue to talk, she informs Nick that it was like raining. It was like a wet night, the night that Rita was killed and then burned in the barrel, which will become important in a moment. But before then, we're with Warwick and Sarah. They're in the lab. Warwick finds a used EpiPen, and he also finds a peanut butter tube inside of a Coke can. And as he's talking to Sarah about this, she's going through the chili and finds a big old slab of peanut butter.
Isn't peanut butter Coke a TikTok thing?
Maybe.
Like
that's possible.
I think that's supposed to be actually quite delicious.
I do like peanut butter. So, but to be fair, this might be here like heresy. I was going to say hearsay. It's not hearsay because I'm
heresy.
Maybe a heresy, but I prefer Pepsi products. But that's what I grew up on. So, like, give me a Pepsi Zero. Coke Zero is pretty good, though.
I used to be a big fan of Diet Pepsi Max.
Okay.
Which I think is basically Pepsi Zero.
It's probably Pepsi Zero. Yeah, Pepsi Zero is so good. So, we then have another walk and talk between Grissom and Sarah. And Grissom is trying to, and I did find this a bit strange. Grissom's trying to say, because at this point, Sarah's like letting him know, like, hey, we found this peanut butter. We're doing this testing. And Grissom's like, I just don't see like how the risk is worth the reward in this case.
Yeah. Like you can.
You've seen people kill for less, Grissom.
Yeah.
You've seen people kill for a lot less than this.
I think that this actually gets answered later on.
It does get answered later
on. In the sense that like an individual is that he's believing that someone's intention. I think for Grissom, the idea is like this person, why would you murder someone to get out of jury duty? But as we kind of find out later on, like people don't really necessarily understand the ramifications of what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would do something a little shifty to get out of this situation.
And then Grissom ends this with asking Sarah what she's working on, which leaves Sarah like,
I want to know the answer. She doesn't answer him. Although he doesn't give her a second to answer.
No, he's like, well, what are you working on? And then just beelines out of there. And she's
quite
like,
rude.
Oh, all right. We then are back with Nick. He has returned to the swamp and he's doing some tests in this soil. And then he's just decimating this beautiful tree, just cutting limbs off of this beautiful tree. And then he's back in the lab. He's examining the rings from the limbs of the tree that he cut off. Grissom enters. They have a conversation about how there's a possibility that the river washed away the hydrocarbons. And so Nick was looking to the tree because the tree could have absorbed it through its roots. And he shows that the year that Rita disappeared, all of the rings have this like anomaly in them that could be due to hydrocarbons. And he's going to prove it by using sawdust. We then have Mr. Dorsey and Nick with their own walk and talk. And the sawdust did produce some hydrocarbons. But before we follow that,
that's trail, like a really impressive, like, I think that's totally feasible.
I think it's feasible.
Like, it's really impressive amount of effort and science to trace hydrocarbons to then what will likely be in evidence in a courtroom that ends up with like, so somebody dumped some fuel in the river. It washed down the river, absorbed in the tree. Like, you're going to have to test all the trees around there. You're going to have to go through a lot more, which they probably will do on like a murder case. But like, you're going to need a little bit more evidence than this. They'll get there. But
they'll get there.
At the time, I was like, we're on real shaky ground. Enough for, because for Nick, I think this is like, is this person lying or not?
Yes. Right? That's what like, I, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. Was there a murder or was there not a murder? Now he's starting to believe there was a murder.
Yes, now he's definitely starting to believe that there was in fact a murder. So we have Sarah talking to the officer that had let the jurors know earlier that lunch was there, and he's explaining how how they got their meals every day. So they had breakfast and dinner at the hotel, they had lunch, it was ordered, and that the victim had some allergies and he ordered the exact same thing. He ordered this chili every single day, did not order anything else. So he also let Sarah know that he caught one of the other jurors double packing, meaning having an extra cell phone. So then we have Sarah and Jim Brass with said double packer, as I labeled him. And he has like photos of the other jurors. So they're trying to like figure out like what shady nonsense he's like gotten paid to like sway the jurors or have evidence against them.
Yeah, like blackmail them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that.
No. He just wants to sell his story to the tabloids. He's just like, no. This is like a big profile case, and I'm going to sell my story to the tabloid.
There's a lot going on with this jury.
So then we have Nick and Vartan at a home, and we learn that this is where Rita's husband, Aaron, lives with his now fiance, Terry. And
this, by the way, is a spot to guess.
I was going to say, I thought maybe it was. And then when I looked it up, it wasn't. But then when I saw what she's in, I was like, this better be a spot to guest star for Nick. I was like, if not, I'm going to be really angry about it.
Yeah, this Sarah Rafferty plays Terry Minden. She also plays Donna on Suits, one of the main cast of Suits. I was trying to remember. I don't think she was in the Super Bowl ad, but pretty big character. Has been in a couple other little things here and there as well. I will say her character is kind of funny because she plays the assistant, not a like a paralegal or anything, but it's just like a literal assistant to a partner at a law firm in Suits. But her attitude is very similar in this episode as it is to that character throughout the whole show. And so like this character could have been on Suits in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It was I was like, holy crap, it's Donna.
I know her.
I also definitely see Suits like clips on YouTube and like shorts
all
the time.
Yeah. So it's like,
now, apparently it's a really popular show nowadays because of it's on Netflix.
It's fair. So they let them know that they have a warrant for a sample of gasoline. And so they go around back, and this is where we learn that diesel is like an additional dye is added to diesel for farms, because they need to like differentiate between like farm grade diesel and like
agricultural diesel. I thought they dyed all diesel red because I've never owned a diesel vehicle or used diesel, but I have watched a number of farming channels on YouTube and all their diesel is red.
Okay. Yeah. There's like nothing that I can think of like that I have watched where I would know that. So I was like, when they said it in this, I was like, sure. Like, I don't know. Like, I really have no idea.
It's red diesel. Is it a aviation fuel? They also dye some color? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely possible. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, but I do not.
There's so many different types of aviation fuel.
So much. So we then have Warwick. He is fuming the peanut butter tube he finds Prince, and it matches to one of the jurors, the Tara Newsom that we mentioned earlier on in the episode. So we go to work with Tara, and we learn that she is getting married soon, and she is very upset about how long this is taking because she's like missing her fittings and she wasn't there for her own like bridal shower, and she's missing all these like important milestones in the lead up to getting married. So we learn from her that she passed out lunch, and she did in fact put the peanut butter in the chili, but then she had a change of heart and she went to go actually like hand him her chili, which did not have peanut butter in it, but she sort of like tripped and spilled it.
Yeah.
So then he took back the chili that had the peanut butter in it, and she didn't stop him, and she left. And we learn, as Nick was alluding to earlier, that she didn't, she admits to doing this, but because when he reacted to the peanut shells earlier, he only had like a topical, like a dermatological response to it.
Yeah.
Like he didn't, like his throat didn't swell up or anything like that. She just thought that he would get like sick enough that he would have to get like replaced. But like her intention was not to kill him.
Yes.
She was very clear that that was not her intention. So then we go to Greg Sanders talking to Grissom, Warwick, and Sarah. And look at that. She, in fact, did not kill him because it was not a reaction to peanut butter.
I didn't follow Greg at all, but I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but that's at the end of the day.
He did still have an immune reaction. It just wasn't the peanut.
We then have Nick in a computer. Detective Vartan enters. And we learn that the hydrocarbon pulled from the sawdust pulled from the tree is from unleaded gasoline. So it cannot be the diesel sample that they pulled from Aaron's farm. And so they do this whole like process of elimination of different gas tanks. And then look at that. Faye lives right across the street.
Yes.
And has her own gas tank and it has unleaded gasoline in it. So
she lives like across the river. Like it's actually quite hard to get to.
Right over there. So, well, don't worry, we'll follow up with Faye. But before we do, we have Grissom with Doc Robbins. And Doc Robbins is re-examining the exposed areas, like the head and the neck of the victim. And look at that. Again, a well-placed, how did you miss this first go-around, Doc Robbins moment. He finds a bee butt.
Yes. Found a little bee butt. Grissom is there. He's like, oh.
Yeah, he had his bug moment. He had his Latin classification for the bee.
So we're looking for another body.
Yeah, we're looking for another body. Which the people looking for that body are Grissom and Sarah. They're back in the juror deliberation room searching the floor.
Warwick and Sarah.
No, Grissom and Sarah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. And I know this for sure. Because A, Sarah finds the body.
Yeah.
And then Grissom has this like little quip about, look at that. It was an outside job.
You're right. You're 100% correct. I remember that line. I laughed at it.
No. I know for sure that this was Grissom on this one. But we then return to Faye. Nick and Vartan are at her farm and they're talking to her about how this fuel isn't matching up. And look at that. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Aaron's pump was empty that night, so he like forced us to come over here and get gas for mine, and that's why. And they're like, okay. So Nick ends up going to her barn.
Does he have a warrant for that?
I have no idea.
Because
I don't know.
If you ask me, that's an illegal search and seizure.
Yeah. But in this illegal search, he finds the exact barrels one could use to shove a body in and burn it. And then she has a plethora of tools. She's on a farm, so it's like not weird tools.
Yeah, it's a little weird in the way that they're laid out on that table.
Yeah, they're definitely weird how they're laid out. Torture
someone to death.
Yeah, they're laid out weirdly on that table so that Nick can perfectly spray them with luminol to find out if any of them show blood, and one of them does. But I do want to point out, was this in CSI or was this in the first 48? I've been watching too much of the first 48, so I'm like, oh no, it's the first 48. Luminol will detect blood or not. Luminol is not specific to human blood, though.
Oh. I was also just thinking people cut themselves in their tools all the time.
Well, that and like
my hand is covered with garden tools.
And I mean, I guess she like grows like fir trees or something, but like she could also technically have farm animals.
Or a garden.
Yeah, so whatever. So Nick brings the tool back and they're talking to Faye and he's like, you were right about one thing. Your sister was murdered, but she was murdered by you. Bah, bah, bah.
Dun, dun, dun. I have something to say about this, but I think we have to wait till we get to the later scene.
Okay.
We talk about.
So we then have Nick debriefing Grissom on Rita's murder, essentially like everything that he found in this like reinvestigation of the case. And Grissom is kind of like, okay, like, you know, would you have fought me on this earlier? And he kind of was like, no, but now he would. Now Nick is like, I would fight you on closing the original missing person case. And the reason being, because Grissom's like, well, like we followed the evidence and there was no evidence. And Nick points out, but you can't ignore like the human element. Like Rita was like a very consistent person who, you know, like made all of her appointments and was like very consistent and very,
yeah.
And he was like, and she literally just disappeared without a trace one day with zero earlier evidence in her behavior that she would do something like,
yeah,
that.
No, like, not like evidence that she was having trouble in her relationship, yeah. That no. She wanted to get away, that she was being abused or anything. Right.
And so Grissom's kind of warns him the same thing as like Sarah and a few others have been kind of warning him about being like really empathetic. And Nick stands up for himself and he's like, look, that's who I am. It's how I work my cases. And he even says, like, if you don't want to give me the promotion, like, that's fine. Like, I'm not you. And Grissom is like, no, like, we don't need another me.
Yeah.
Which I think is true. And so Nick needs, like,
about this is like Nick is empathetic towards Rita. He's a little confrontational towards Aaron.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But he follows the evidence and he figures out it was Rita.
Yeah. So no, it was Faye.
That or Faye, rather.
Yeah.
So he even when he's showing empathy, it's part of his process, not a handicap. Important thing is that he's following the evidence.
Agreed. And so he leaves and we see Grissom typing a letter and he's recommending Nick for the promotion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sarah wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. Sarah wasn't doing anything this episode. Like, what did she do?
Yeah. And Grissom's largely like, you know, he's challenging him. He's like, he's testing him. Like, you know, what would you have done differently? You know, would you do that today? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, he's got that level of maturity.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how we end today's episode. So Nick, what did you think about today's episode?
I liked it. Okay. I gave it 4 stars and then clawed back 1/2 star. Oh, all right. As I ended up giving it a watch, it was fine to watch a second time.
Yeah.
It just wasn't like, there just wasn't a lot of value in watching it a second time.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of an enjoyable episode, I think. So for a back-to-back watch, it was not super great. And, but yeah, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, that was a pretty good episode. You know, and so, yeah, I gave it 3.5 stars. It's right on the cusp of 4 stars, I think. And I think that the only reason I'm not giving it 4 stars is because I didn't want to give it a rewatch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be a 4-star episode. Yeah.
So this is funny. I was like, so last week when we were recording and I looked, you know, I always look to be like, oh, this is going to be our next week's episode. And I will say this, thankfully, I thought that this was an airplane episode.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I remembered this as an airplane episode. Maybe not as bad as an airplane, but like pretty close
low,
to it.
Low episode.
So when I saw it, I was like, ugh. Like, we have to do this. Like, we have to record this one next week. I don't want to. And then when I watched it through, I was like, this is pretty good. I was like, this isn't an airplane episode.
Yeah.
So I'm also going to give it a 3.5. The rewatch was difficult, but mostly, again, I'm not going to like go into the weeds of my stressful day, but I just had a really stressful day. So just trying to like quiet my mind and focus and take notes, it was much harder than usual for me today. So most of my assessment is on the first watch through because I don't think fairly I can assess it on my second
one. Well paced too. It was felt like a fast watch.
Yeah, it has my main components, like entire team is involved. There's some character development, like Nick stands up. Like we see, I like when pieces that we see from earlier episodes, like, so we've been seeing these nuggets of Nick being empathetic and like really kind of like connecting to
the B plot in this episode is better than the A plot in this
episode.
It
is 100%.
I think that's why it's hard to rewatch, is like it's half of an amazing episode and half of an okay episode.
Yes. Yes. The Nick storyline, the Faye and Rita storyline, much better. Would have loved for it to be a storyline. And I also feel like what actually is the A storyline feels like a more traditional campy B storyline.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I agree with you there. I feel like maybe if those were switched, I'd feel a little bit different. Like maybe I would have bumped it up a little bit. But 2 storylines, all characters involved, some character development and some hints about later. Like, oh, there's rumors going on about Grissom and Sarah. Like, we're you know, we didn't really know that anybody else really knew about it. you know? So it's like, oh, all right. Like, we're learning, like, those little nuggets. So, yeah. And like you said, it was, like, well-paced. It, like, went, you know, I wasn't, like, sitting there dragging or anything. So I would say this is, like, above average episode, which, again, I'm super happy about because I legitimately thought that this was going to be, like, a playing episode. And I was like, oh, no. And so I was very pleasantly surprised to be like, that's a pretty good episode. And I enjoy it. So, yeah. 3.5. Give it a watch. I don't think you need to give it a rewatch. It's not bad. Again, I can't really judge the rewatch because today was a very tough day for me. But we will see. Lots of spot the guest stars.
Yeah.
We'll see what we think when we return next week to review season 4, episode 12, Butterflied. But otherwise, we will talk to you then.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.